Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are extremely, extremely grateful to Allah for His grace, that despite all negligence and laziness, Allah ta'ala has taken us out of that, and He has given us all the tawfiq ability to perform His dhikr, about which Allah ta'ala has given so many rewards, gifts and glad tidings. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيَادِ. Allah ta'ala promises about His dhikr. Allah says, whatever I promise and vow, that occurs. It's just a little bit of time you have to wait. Alhamdulillah, those things that Allah ta'ala has promised, we just have to wait for that a little while. And as a person departs and leaves this world with his own eyes, he witnesses those promises, those amal deeds, those moments, those times, those things that Allah ta'ala promised about. Not just that does Allah give, rather more than that Allah ta'ala gives. Subhanallah. Allah gives more thawab than that, many times over. There's an event that I am remembering right now that comes to mind, that in the end, after everything, a jannati will be taken out, and he will be going through his punishment, and he had iman, but in the world, in the dunya, he didn't stop the sins, he didn't do tawbah, he didn't repent, and obviously those sins of an individual, they will be burnt in the fire of Jahannam. So he was negligent, he was lazy, and he couldn't even in the court of Allah make a small request that Allah Ta'ala forgive my sins. And on this word, Allah has put so much ajr, reward, that Allah Ta'ala forgives all of the sins. And those that are not forgiven, he'll go into the hereafter. Then such adab, such punishments that may Allah Ta'ala forgive, that person cannot imagine about those adab. And it's just a little bit of moment, little bit of time left. When the breath stops, the person arrives to the next world. This world disappears, mother, father, sister, brothers, everybody's gone. Everything disappears. So that poor soul, he was like that. And Allah's karam and mercy, and he requested from there, that Allah Ta'ala, you are so merciful, please at least do this much, Allah, that give me some relaxation, give me a bit of flexibility so I can move beyond this place of Jahannam. Maybe I can go a bit beyond where I'm here so that the heat reduces, maybe I can get some fresh air. And Allah Ta'ala listens to every person's request. Allah never rejects. Allah said, is this what you're saying is correct? Just, are you going to be steadfast and firm on your promise? They say, yes Allah, totally, I won't go beyond that. Allah says, okay, fine, give him a chance, give him some respite, so he comes a bit further out of the severity, he gets a bit of coolness, enjoyment. He says, look at Jahannam. He gets a bit of rahmah and he enjoys himself, and he's seeing things beyond him, in front of him, everything else. Then he comes to his senses and says, Ya Allah, you are extremely merciful and gracious, and you've brought me to here. Just please listen to one more thing, one more request. Allah says, what is it? He says, Allah, put me a little bit closer to Jannah so I can see what people are doing. I heard so much that at least I can see with my eyes. Allah says, you said I won't go further. He said, Allah, I won't. This is in hadith, this event I'm telling you. In hadith. Imagine that I am that person. Everyone should imagine that I am that person, and look at Allah's rahmah, mercy, subhanallah. So a mu'min should never give up. Never give up. Never lose hope. Never lose hope if you have iman. So Allah Ta'ala says, okay, fine. Will you be steadfast and firm? He says, totally, yes, Allah. Obviously, this is the nature of man like ours. And Allah will say, okay, fine. Allah is aware of that nature. Allah says, okay, let him go a bit closer to Jannah so he can witness and see. When he gets closer, then he was so close and he started to enjoy the sight. Oh, this is something else. So after a while, when he came back to his senses a bit more, he says, Ya Allah, you are merciful. You've brought me here. Just push me a little bit further forward. A bit further forward. Allah Ta'ala says that you keep going beyond what you say. He says, Ya Allah, I'm not asking for much. Just a little bit further so I can get closer to Jannah. So at least I can maybe give me some mercy, Allah, your karam, your grace. So Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, then it will increase. It will become evident. I'm just giving you the meaning of the hadith. Allah says that my rahmah will become evident. Allah says, okay, fine. What is it that you want? What is it you want? You're requesting. You say, Allah, how can I ask from you? Allah, so Allah says that, do you remember that world that you came from? Now Allah is speaking. Look at the discussion Allah has with His servant. And every person's heart, when he feels he wants to speak to Allah, then Allah Ta'ala is giving the answer at that time. Remember this. Even now, that situation is there. It's present. So that person, when he will say, that dunya came from, and there were rich people, there was Qarun, there were treasures. Allah will say, okay, forget that. Allah says that the biggest four kings that you knew, give their names to me. What did they have? And he'll say, okay. Then he'll count. He had these kingdoms. He had leadership. He was the owner of this property. And Allah says, is that it that they had? He said, yes. Allah will say, okay, fine. Now, with you, what shall I do with you that you are asking me, what you are asking me for? If all those people in the world that you refer to, if I multiply that by 10 and give it to you, will you be satisfied? Allahu Akbar. And suddenly from the word that came from his mouth, they were ajib. He said, Allah, are you joking with me? How can I get this? Are you joking with me? Amazing. Allah says, I'm Rabb. How can I joke with you? Do you know that when a person gives, and what do I give in return? When a person requests, so Allah Ta'ala gave him so much thawab. I said, here, take this and go. And that he is the least level, the lowest level of Jannah. MashaAllah, you are dhakirin. People who do dhikr, people who do tawbah, tell me, what will Allah give? When a person loses hope and becomes weak and gives up, this is a dangerous thing. Very big dangerous thing. Remember this. In the world, a human being should be very careful of one thing. The pious predecessors have told us this. It's a big nasiha. Big nasiha. That never give up. Never lose hope. Allah sent us to this world. And Allah is Kareem. He knows. He is Khabir, Basir. This dunya full of needs, difficulties, problems, shaitan, desires, nafs. So many things a person is surrounded with. Isn't this the case? Eh? On every footstep of a human being, difficulties, problems, worries, hajat, so many requirements, so many needs. Then there's nafs, his enemy. Then shaitan, the big enemy. So then a person, Allah Ta'ala, has He just left us in this, amidst all of these issues, without any assistance? If Allah Ta'ala has given so many challenges and difficulties and problems, then Allah has also given the solution for this. Allah has also given the solution for this. Subhanallah. Look, Allah Ta'ala, insan, a mu'min who believes Allah will leave him isolated. Oh no, it's too hard. Oh, it's too difficult. There's worries. Cannot be ever like this. We don't look at the solution. We don't look at the solution that takes a person away from destruction. Allah has given us the path to come out of the problems. And what is that path? Subhanallah. His illustrious majesty sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah methodology is such a fantastic path, such a fantastic way. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has demonstrated to us in every way, by statement, by physically implementing, and he has announced it that until qiyamah his words and his practices will continue. They will not stop, they will not cease. And if this was the case, look how many anbiya came. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, we see his the events. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam in the Quran. But our holy prophet, our master, even this is included, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, at this time, in this moment, he did this. He raised his finger like this. Or he did this specific action. Or he slept in this manner, etc. Look at the examples, the details. Allah Ta'ala made it dahir, apparent, not just for one moment, until Qiyamah Allah has continued that. Because goodness for insan is in this. Without this, we cannot progress. We cannot succeed. If there's no solution, if we don't solve a problem, then we're still in that conundrum. So Allah says, I've given you the solutions, that whenever any mu'min has any issues until Qiyamah, the solution will be there. You cannot, that the Rasulullah's habits and methods will never hide from the people, never be hidden. So this situation, we see the difficulties. Where will the solutions come from? What will be the solution to the problems of the world? There are two things. One are the needs of the world, and one are the needs of the akhirah. There are two needs. And for both needs, there's a solution that Allah has given. I can't leave this sin, there's a solution. The sin, a person cannot eat, I try my hardest, I can't leave the sins, I do my best. My eyesight, it strays, I can't stop this, I can't leave this sin. It's too hard for me, I keep doing, a person gives up, loses hope. And then he carries on fast towards the sins. It's too hard for me, how can I do this action? It's very difficult, I can't leave this. And he gives up, that person. Because he hasn't gone to the solution. Immediately think there's definitely a solution for my problem. I can leave this sin. I can leave this wretched action, this immoral, impure action. I can destroy nafs and shaitan. They're not that big an enemy that I think they are. Allah's definitely given me a solution. No, shaitan, he's spoiling me. Nafs is making me go straight. Totally, they will come. But the solution Allah's given, utilize that solution. The solution is there. We have it. Where will we get that solution from? From Rasulullah's blessed tariqah, his methodology, his way. What did Rasulullah do at that time? That's what was the situation and what did he do? So this is one solid fact that it is impossible that a human being, if he wants to leave a sin or a bad action, or if he's got a need in the world, or if there's a problem in the world, and that he cannot solve that problem. Impossible. That he cannot solve that problem. If we come to this platform, then our life will be first class life. But we don't look for that solution. Don't get a job, I'm upset. I can't get a job, I can't get employment, this is not happening, I can't find a house, I can't get married, I can't find a partner. Thousands of stories that are running with us. And with regards to the hereafter, I can't finish this sin, I can't leave this action, how can I do this, how can I control my tongue, how can I control this and that? Obviously, if a person doesn't leave the sins, then the adab of Jahannam are there, they're present and very severe indeed. And who will be able to bear those in the grave and in the hereafter? So let's go to the solution. And when this happens with us in our life, when we're going through the difficulties, then go to the solution. That how can I control this situation? Bring it into control. How can I overcome this issue? And what's the hal? The solution? Rasulullah has demonstrated physically the solutions. What is that? It's a combination of two things. The solution is a combination of two things. Yes, the solution is a combination. If you take both in parallel, then alhamdulillah, at no place will your car stop in the world or the hereafter. Yes, you can't just follow one solution. There's a combination of solutions. That this car, this mode of transport has two wheels. If you use one wheel only, then you'll stop. If you use both wheels, transportation of both wheels, then you'll get the success. What is that? You have to use both wheels in combination. For example, I want to leave sins. I can't leave the sins. Then we need to take both solutions in parallel to solve that problem. Yes, or I can't, I've got a need and I can't fulfill it. Then take both solutions in parallel, world or akhirah. What is the solution? What are the two solutions? Number one, that thing to eliminate it or to attain what you want, to leave the sin or to attain the solution. The first action you have to do, you have to try. So the two solutions are, solution number one, you have to try. Make effort. How much effort? The amount you are capable of. Say subhanallah. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah says, I inserted a capacity, capability inside everybody. Yes, capability, capacity, ability, you can call this. And you can go to that maximum of what Allah Ta'ala has given to you. Allah has given a limit. Somebody has less, somebody has more. So the amount of capacity you have, you must, according to that, make full effort. And then solution number two in parallel is raju' ila Allah. Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. Seek from Allah. These two solutions will solve every problem of this world. The biggest sin you're about to commit, you're committing it. You can't leave it. You're habitual in it. It's in coming to your life. You don't want to go to Jahannam. How do you leave that sin? Number one, try as much as you can to stop that sin, to leave the sin. And alongside, in parallel with the effort, what do we need to do? Action two, raju' ila Allah. Turn to Allah. What's the tariqah? Do dua, make dua to Allah. Supplicate to Allah. There's so many supplications, duas, prayers of the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's many books have been printed with the duas. Maqbool hajat, accepted duas, your needs, the books printed, but nobody
recites those du'as. According to the need, nobody makes a du'a. For every situation, the Prophet ﷺ has given a du'a. And not necessary that you have to do it in Arabic, or in English, or in Urdu. You can do it. You can do it in Farsi, Persian, in Sanskrit, in Gujarati, in Suraiki. Allah knows every language. Allah Ta'ala is aware of all the languages, isn't it? And the best way to ask is the way of the Prophet ﷺ in his beautiful language, which is Arabic. If you don't know the dua in Arabic, don't worry. Allah says, at least solve your problem that I will teach you Arabic. Today you're Gujarati, tomorrow you'll start speaking Arabic. I love my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, it's not hard to learn a language, is it? That's no difficult feat. So, a combination of actions. Action number one, what's the first thing to do if you want to solve an issue? Make effort, try hard. And action number two is turn to Allah. Here I'd like to share with you an event, and very confirmed event. And this event, I think, Hazrat Mufti Azam, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he recorded this event, Ma'riful Quran, which he published, this kitab. In 1857, in Hindustan, the Indian subcontinent, 1857, very old event, isn't it? 1857, some time ago. At that time, there was the kingdom, people who were ruling the kingdom, there were people being sort of arrested, there was facade, disorder, people were being hanged, nobody could come out of their house, there were curfews, there was strict kingdom, strict rule, everyone was restricted in prison. You know, like how the conditions change, become severe and hard. From amongst those people, people were imprisoned and restricted, and secluded, there was people being hanged, people being killed and beaten and thrown into jail. There was a wali Allah at that time, pious man he was, and that poor soul, what could he do? He couldn't come out, and he was closed in his home, sealed in his home. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, week passed, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. So how did he pass that time? So when he saw there's a very bad situation, and he was getting to the point where they were maybe going to lose their breath, what did he do? So what they started to do is that in his room, he saw a plate, and he took that plate, and he got to the courtyard. So he's trying, subhanAllah, he's making effort. Yes, and I'm telling you the true event, when he got to the outside sort of courtyard, and it's an everyday example, some they become evident and apparent, some don't. So when he came to the sort near where the door was, and he put the plate outside, he said, Ya Allah. So he's locked in the room, sealed in the room, but he got to near the door, the porch, you could say. Now he's doing dua. Oh Allah, my energy and strength was just to this limit. I couldn't do beyond this, nor did I have strength. I saw the plate, and I took the plate, and I came out to the porch, and I put it here in front of you. And the second action I'm doing is that I'm doing dua to you, Allah. I'm supplicating to you. That it was my task to try, make effort. I took the plate and I put it outside. And Allah, it's you who can fill this plate. And he said that, and he closed his eyes and he lay down. SubhanAllah, there was no sign, no cloud, nothing. And then he heard the rumbling of the clouds, and the clouds came together. Allah is the Rabb and He's the Malik. Not that the climate will change slowly, then the clouds will come slowly, then the weather report will come, and from this country the clouds will come, the moisture will increase, and then the rain will come. No. This is not the rule of Allah. Allah can change in an exam. One wali Allah raised his hands, and the sketch suddenly transformed. At least make the friendship with Allah. At least make the friendship with Allah. I am a sinful person. I am like the dirty spider, you could say. But I have yaqeen. I have certainty that I am surrounded with sins and no action. No action at all. But I have yaqeen. I know that however sinful I am, but at least I have a Rabb. My Mawla, my Lord, who has created us, me, and whoever has created me, and mother is mother, doesn't matter how much she turfs you out of the house, but the connection with the mother will never break, because she gave birth to the child, she reared the child in the womb. But Allah, who created our mothers, then imagine His love. Yes, never consider Allah is far. Allah is not far from us. Not that Allah is just at the Kaaba. No, Allah is attached to every mu'min. Allah is attached to, we have distanced ourselves so much from Allah. This is so foolish, this human being. This is, I'm so close to you, cannot even imagine how close I am to you. Yes, and that our aqal, our mind, our intellect cannot imagine. Allah says that I'm so close to you. So what's happened? You made a sin, mistake, okay, fine. So what, Allah says? That at least speak to me, request me, turn to subhanAllah. We suddenly give up. Lose up. No, I've committed a sin. Oh, I can't do anything now. Leave it now. I'm finished. That's it. I'm just destined for Jahannam. Oh, we become so lacking in hope. We give up so much that we can't imagine. Oh, that's it. Forget going dhikr now. What's the point? It's 2 weeks. I've not gone. I don't feel like going now. I'm committing big sins. And which face will I show to Allah when I go to do his dhikr? Who are we speaking about here? Allah is always waiting. Even if from top to toe and sky to the ground, you're full of the sins. Come to your Rabb. See how Allah Ta'ala will cleanse you. Yes, such dirt and purity. Allah says, I will clean you so pure that people in the dunya will call you a wali Allah. Yes, they will come to you and request for you to do du'as for them. Allah says, why do you consider yourself so low? So we give up so much, we lose hope so much, shaitan makes us give up. Oh no, it's too hard. Never let that time come near to you. I explain this to you, tell you this. That there's no bigger negativity for a person. There's no bigger coward than that human being who gives up. Okay, you've committed a sin, you committed excess, you're disobeying Allah, but you still have the connection with Allah, you're still His creation. That connection hasn't gone, has it? That link is still there. So okay, if a problem comes, a difficulty comes in your life, submit to Allah, turn to Allah. So when the clouds formed together and they came and the rain fell and that plain, subhanAllah, the wells filled with the sadaqah, and how Allah Ta'ala gave from that water in those severe conditions, the bowl was filled. So two things he exhibited: that according to his scenario he made full effort, and secondly he turned to Allah, he requested Allah, he pleaded to Allah, the dua to Allah. So if we bring these points into our lives, my brothers, then no issue can remain unresolved. We can never stay in that position of giving up in our lives. Whatever's happening around us, whatever conditions befall us, and there's total loss, people have left us, bad situation, you can't find a job, and you've been turfed out of the house, whatever situation occurs. I remember my own event, that was such an example came in my life. I was on a journey, I used to travel, and this was my subject, geography, geology, I was studying. And it was a great journey. I think I went to Australia or New Zealand or Switzerland. I was on a journey. And I had a desire, a sort of liking for traveling. There was a friend with me. I'm telling you a true story of my life. Does anybody tell anyone stories like this? Nobody shares this. Why am I telling you? So that our yaqeen can strengthen. Strengthen, subhanAllah. So what happened was that we were traveling, student type people we were, I was studying at that time in Germany, and my money ran out, everything, resources ran out, 1 day, 2 days, and I think we were in Turkey at the time, and we started selling our goods, whatever we had we sold, yes, and then we bought a ticket with difficulty, and we were traveling in a bus. And I think it was a bus, Bulgaria maybe we were going through at that time. And nothing to eat, money's run out, we bought the ticket. So what did we do? And my friend was sitting and his condition was severe. I said, my friend, why are you so upset? Allah Ta'ala's with us, isn't he? SubhanAllah. And I at least had some understanding at that time. I said, Allah's with us, isn't it? He said, Yaar, we're finished. I'm so hungry. I'm finished. I said, let's ask Allah. He said, here in the bus we sat down, what food's going to come here for us? He said to me, what's going to come here? Where's the food going to come? Delicacies. The true story I'm telling you. I said, listen. That I have sat in the majlises of the walis of Allah. I've got a bit of sense. Let's do one action. Let's ask from Allah. He said, Yaar, you ask them. Then when it comes, you'll eat. I said, you'll eat as well when it comes? Yeah? Ask. How should we ask? He said, I said, this way, put your hand up and say, Allah, we're extremely hungry. Please, Allah, prepare some food for us. What should we do? The bus is moving. So in front of us, there was a passenger. And they had some food items. And the child, and they'd given food to the child, biscuits and delicacies and nice stuff. What did the child start saying? Allah Ajeeb. He wasn't eating, he's throwing it on the floor, the food. He's throwing it on the floor, the food. Biscuits and other things. And they came on the floor. I said, look, Allah sent rizq. Quietly, I started to pick that up and we started to eat. First class, our stomach was full. After that, they offered us food. That we're coming off, disembarking, the stop's coming, and the bus will stop there. So you come with us and drink tea with us. So brothers, insan should try a little bit to ask from Allah. Even in the jungle, Allah will give to you. In the wilderness, big sin we're committing. Say, Allah, I want to leave this sin. I'm trying. And then on top of that, raise the hands and do dua. Allah Ta'ala gives. Not that we're sinning, we can't run running towards a sin. I can't leave, oh, there's no way. I can't leave alcohol, I can't leave cannabis. Oh, I can't leave music and this. How can it be we can't stop this? Yet with my eyes I've seen big, big sins people leave. Big, big sins. Little bit of a try, effort, have courage, determination, turn to Allah and do dua. So brothers, this situation, especially the Sufi Hazrat, the individuals, following tasawwuf, they get attacked by shaitan and nafs. Don't fear, don't tremble. When these conditions arise, the straight path Allah has given to you, Allah Ta'ala has given to you, that this is the path you're traveling on, journeying on, and you've got yaqeen. In the morning I've got to do dhikr, in the evening I've got to do my ma'mulat, I've got to recite this much, and this is my sheet that I have to fill in, that my sheikh, my teacher's given this, he's told us to follow this program of improvement. If you're getting lazy, negligent, who do we ask from? Allah. Don't leave the path. Don't leave the path. And Allah Ta'ala has severely reprimanded us that don't leave the path. I am displeased when you do that. If I'm your Rabb, why don't you ask me for the solution? Why? As Arif Billah, as Arifi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Qudus Sirah, said great statements. He said that if you're committing the sin, then okay. That after sinning, you stand in front of Allah on the day of judgment and you say to Allah, I was forced to do this, I couldn't help it, I was in this country, it was too hard for me, we had to do the sins. Fine. If when you say this to Allah on the day of judgment, Allah will say, okay, everything you're saying is fine, and you're in such a country, hemisphere, and severe conditions around you, difficult, you couldn't come out of there, you couldn't take the TV out. Well, my husband said, don't take it out of the house. Wife sometimes says, that my husband said, don't take it out of the house. And sometimes the husband says, my wife said, don't take it out of the house. Okay, such situations can arise. But did you ever, Allah will then say to you, that did you ever do this then, when you were surrounded by that severe condition, did you commit this action, that Allah, I'm forced, I'm in a corner, create the means for me, Allah, I want to leave this action sin, did you ever ask me for that solution? Subhanallah. Did you ever ask me? Allah will ask. If you had asked me, Allah says, at least try and ask me, you should have tried at that time, I would have made that easy for you to shun that sin. So let's make this yaqeen, certainty strong. Allah never rejects the request of insan, human being. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Even if something seems impossible, doesn't matter how impossible it seems to you, to us, immediately, courage, come forward, and dua. That Allah want this, you have to give this to me. And third thing, remember, third thing, fantastic point. Third thing, is that we must try, action number one, make full effort. Number two, make dua, supplicate to Allah. And third action is Mansha Ilahi. Third action is Allah's choice. Remember this as well. Who are you asking from? Allah, the Rabb, is Hakim. Remember, Allah is the Hakim, all-knowing, Al-Hakim. Everything runs with His hikmah, wisdom. We've done our action. We've tried our best, made full effort. Number two, we made dua, end of story. Third thing, is that why didn't it happen? Why is it not happening? Beware. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. Allah says, your request has come to me, and sa'i mashkura, and your effort has come to me, which will never remain unsuccessful. The dua has come, which will never be rejected. Dua is never rejected, Allah says. Both things have come. Your effort, you tried, that's been registered, noted. Number two, you've made dua. Yes, you supplicated, and that will never be rejected. And third action, if it's not happening, it's delayed, it's not being fulfilled, it's not being coming to fruition, what's that? Man sha'a ilahi. This is the choice of Allah. It's the hikmat-e-ilahi. It's the wisdom of Allah. It's the choice of Allah, decision of Allah. So after doing action 1 and 2, when you come to action 3, leave it to Allah. What's this? This is tawakkal. Tawakkal. This is tawakkal Allah. Reliance in Allah. This is what we call, define as tawakkal Allah. Action 1 and 2 combined will bring you to the third, tawakkal Allah. Allah, I'm happy with your choice, happy with your decision. I've done what I to do, what you give, what you do, when, etc. Alhamdulillah, I've got sakina, contentment, satisfaction in my heart. Allah gives that immediately. Allah takes the trembling and the fear and the anxiety out, and the problem is solved. When will that thing come? When will it come to fruition? You'll have to wait. I did this, I made these actions, and I'm not getting married. This is not happening. I'm not succeeding. When we force the issue, Allah says, okay, you didn't wait. You couldn't do tawakkal. Then the result will be wrong, and then the result goes towards negative. So after doing action 1 and 2, you try. Action 1 is try, effort, full effort. Yes, according to your capacity. And number 2, action 2 is dua, supplicate to Allah. And then 3.3 is Allah, I leave it to you, your choice Allah, whenever you give, I am waiting. Because in this waiting, Allah gives reward as well during that time, subhanAllah. Remember this. What is this called? Tawakkal Allah. Reliance in Allah. Leave it, depending on Allah. This is called tawakkal. Now, this combination we haven't put together. Then what happens? What happens to our situation? We keep on doing dua. Ya Allah, give me this. Ya Allah, give me this. Ya Allah, give me this. Ya Allah, I want to leave sins. Ya Allah, I want to leave these sins. You keep on making dua, but the combination is not complete. You're not doing action 1. You're not making effort. Never will you succeed. Never will you succeed. Oh, I've done so many duas. I've done everything. It's still not coming to fruition. Did you try? No. For example, ya Allah, give me a son, ya Allah, give me a son, ya Allah, have you got married? No, I'm not married, so how will the son come? Tell me, if the asbab, the means Allah has given you, not implementing, then what's the point of dua? Allah says, Allah can do whatever He wants through dua. Of course, it's not that Allah is forced to relying on something, but it's this sunnat-e-ilahi, this is Allah's tariqah, method, that I will give to you this way. If you do this, I'll give to you. So the tariqah, the method Allah likes, take that method. This is not our yaqeen. Allah's qadir, and if we don't ask, Allah will still give. No. We know that even if we don't ask, Allah can still give. But this is against adab, against manners, that the method Allah has given to us, we're going against that. Except for those people who are high level, their words, their status, their situation is different. But we normal people, we're not in that situation. We have to follow the rules. If you just do dua on its own and you don't try, then that issue will stay hanging in the balance. And the other way, flip side, you keep trying, you put stock in the shop, you keep trying but you don't make dua, then again, that situation will hang in the balance. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not by doing one and leaving the other action. You're doing dua, you're not trying. Or you're trying but you're not making dua. No, both actions in parallel you must do. Dua should be there, supplicate to Allah, and try, both together. That's it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that even if the laces on your shoe break, ask from Allah to solve the problem. This is a small thing, isn't it? This is a small thing, but we should ask from Allah. That even if your shoe breaks, then ask from Allah. We say, what's the point of asking Allah? There's a cobbler, we'll go to the cobbler and tell him to fix it. Look at that uncertainty there. Yes, that you are coming out of your confidence, and if you can't find the cobbler, if he does wrong, or if something else happens which is not according to need, it looks simple, minor. There's a glass of water there. The wali of Allah, they are such that before arriving to the glass of water, they make, Ya Allah, make this journey easy for me before I can pick that glass up. Allahu Akbar, I'm telling you the reality. On every footstep, before they raise the footstep, they do dua. That Allah, I'm starting to make effort. I'm raising my hands, but I will only arrive to that water when you give the tawfiq and you make that travel for me easy. But thousands of times you'll have seen, person puts his hands up, goes to get water, and he gets a stroke and he can't drink that water. Isn't this the case? He's eating food, suddenly his hand stops. Why? Stroke occurred, can't eat anymore. What happened then? What about that situation? Isn't this the case? So every action, you should have a connection with Allah strong, that I am not capable at all until I don't make dua fully. That journey, even be small, will not be completed, even if it's water I have to go and pick up. So Allah Ta'ala, we think just dua is in namaz time, that I don't need to do dua after namaz, just mulanna sahib if he asks, otherwise the real dua is the dua you make. Remember this tariqah, Remember, dua is that dua that comes from your heart, from your tongue. Maulana sahib dua is doing, or some other person, or peer sahib, or hazrat sahib. That's a collective dua. That barakah is there on its own. It's there. It's, but your secret and desire from Allah, that's different. That's unique. Your secret, your connection, your desire, what comes from the pain, from the depths of Allah, give me this, Allah. And for example, the person who's collectively asking, he doesn't have that pain. So Allah gives when there's pain. Ah, the request, the pleading. How much pleading? How much yaqeen has this person got? That my Rabb is listening to him say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So this is what you will learn in the khanqas, my friends. Someone sat in that corner crying, someone's in that sat in the corner. I've seen beautiful scenes in the midst of the night, in the third portion of the night, and there were small oil lamps flickering. There was a fakir in that corner crying, there was a fakir in that corner sitting, asking Allah. There's somebody requesting, somebody's doing tasbih, they're pleading. Everyone's in their own situation. Nobody knows what the other person's doing. Allahu Akbar. So this is the connection we need to make with Allah Ta'ala. Insan mu'min is not on his own. He's not on his own. He needs the assistance. But he doesn't need anyone around him in the world. He's got the greatest who's listening, who gives, and he gives immediately. Subhanallah. Tell me, is Allah far or have we distanced Allah from us? Made the distance big. We are foolish. Big act of foolish. 24 hours pass and we don't ask from Allah. 24 hours. No, I did dua after namaz. Say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan. 3-4 duas, that's it. Brothers, what about your private life? What about that? Don't you have some private needs and requirements? For example, I have a desire. Don't I? For example, just give me an example, that these are all true points I'm making. These are the needs of human being. For example, you feel like, I want to go make halwa, nice, delicious halwa. You have a desire that I want to go home and cook a nice roaster chicken. Yes, put your hands up. Allah, I'm going. Allah, prepare the food for me so I can get nice hot halwa. There's nothing wrong with this, saying this to Allah. Yes, this is nothing bad you're saying to Allah. Allah Ta'ala from such a place will deliver halwa to you, even if it comes from the sky down to you, He'll deliver it. Yes, ask those things. Say, Allah, save me from Jahannam. At least say that. Yes, that's something to ask for. But even in the dunya you're living, Ya Allah, give me cool water. Allah, I don't have a glass, I need a glass. Allah, I'm trying, but Allah, give to me. I don't have a good pen that writes good. Give me a good pen, Allah. We think that it's money, will come out of pocket, I'll go to the shop. No, don't rely on the shop, no on money, not on your pocket. Who should you ask from directly? Subhanallah, Allah, Rabb. Then pick your feet up, that I need to go and get a pen. You'll go and the pen will be in front of you, sat there. Brothers, this is the connection we need to develop with Allah Ta'ala. This connection to strengthen it. The walis wala, the tariqah, they've told us, what is that? Dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah. Yes, what else? What reason is there for us doing dhikr? The more we do dhikr, the more your connection with Allah will increase and develop and strengthen. You'll start asking from Allah. Everything you'll start asking from Allah, give me a wife, Allah, that Allah knows. Allah, there's a stomach pain, Allah, cure my stomach pain, Allah, I can't urinate properly. They're dua for this. Allah, my urine stops, I can't urine properly. And then there's a dua for that, there's a ayah for that. Small things, Allah's given solutions, Allah knows. This machine of the body is in my control. Sometimes this will fail, the kidney will fail, the urine will stop, and this will stop. Immediately the dhakir, I swear by Allah, the barakah of dhikr, I swear by Allah. Doesn't matter if we go to the big doctor, he'll say, you got cancer. Wallahi, that insan, human being who's the dhakir, first and foremost, he won't be scared. He'll say, Allah, Allah, cure me from this. I tell you, this is the reality. Immediately he submits to Allah, he runs to Allah, he sits there and shouts out, Allah, he said, declared cancer. Allah, give me the cure for this. What's happened here? What is this difficulty? Immediately Allah gives him contentment, satisfaction. That why are you fearing? Afraid? I made him declare cancer and I'll cure the cancer. What do you know? That why I gave you cancer? Because I want to give you high status in Jannah, paradise. What do you know? Well, I've given you this distress. Your children, why have I given them pain? Your son, your daughter, why have they been given pain? Why have they got sadness? Subhanallah. That is there anyone more than me that loves you? Your mother, father, your wife, your children, they can do nothing. Your Rabb, when He loves you, He is the greatest. Subhanallah. So when I take something away from you, then what do you know? That how beloved I make you. to me. And how beloved you are to me at that time. You're so beloved to me. You cannot imagine, Allah says, when I take something from you, I give you a test, a challenge, a difficulty, that will I not give you compensation for that? But why have you run away? Why do you run away from dhikr? Where have you gone? Allah says, I'm looking for you. My angels are looking for you. Where have you run away to? You monkey? This is our situation. So every incident is based on Allah's hikmah, wisdom, but don't leave dhikrullah. That's it. Subhanallah. Never leave dhikrullah. Doesn't matter how much shaitan, waswasa, whispering of shaitan, who will we ask from? First, make effort to destroy shaitan. Don't listen to his words. Don't have yakini shaitan and be aware that he's pestering you. And then seek refuge from Allah. Allah has told us so many things. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah, seek refuge, protection from you from shaitan. Allah is pestering me. Allah, save me from shaitan. Ya Allah, disconnect me from shaitan. The more you keep on asking, man sha ilahi, then the decision of Allah will run. Your darajat will increase. Your status will increase. Subhanallah. This is your ibadah. This is your worship. That Allah has put you in this situation. Yes, that you'll get more thawab than the masjid. Alhamdulillah. So sickness, all, everything is running according to Allah's system. Our task is make effort and in parallel, ask from your Rabb and be satisfied and happy with Allah Ta'ala's decision. Allah, I'm happy, Allah. Whatever we had to do, we've done. And whatever however we left the pot out there, the bowl, and we lay down, that put the bowl out there, and I've made the supplication dua, and I don't know now where the water will come from. Just like I said, that now we've asked from Allah, we've tried, now we don't know where Allah will give us rizq from in this bus. The biscuits came, food came, he kept on throwing, we took it from our hands and we ate it, and the stomach filled up. Subhanallah. And then we were grateful to Allah, we're very grateful. So these are the solutions Allah has given to us. Allah knows these human beings, and Allah gives us these conditions so that my servant comes close to me. So that my servant comes close to me. And these things, when you attain, when your heart unravels, when you do dhikrullah morning and evening, you come and sit down. Look, by listening, the human being, he cannot succeed. Doesn't matter how many lectures you hear, Quran tafsir you listen to, hadith you listen to, until you don't move yourself physically and implement, until you don't move your feet and set forth, go forward, then you cannot get to the maqam. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah, great kitab he put together. Such a great book he put together. The whole deen sealed and summarized, Imam Bukhari, after Quran, the greatest kitab, Sahih al-Bukhari. This is what our pious predecessors tell us. But what did he do to achieve that? First hadith he wrote, qala Rasulullah s.a.w. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu's hadith. That Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu stated, the meaning of the hadith is this, that he is going on the minbar and he is narrating this hadith. That I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the gracious Prophet sallam, say this, that all amal are all based on what a person's niyyah, intention. What a great selection of Imam Bukhari. Did he have ilham? This was ilham from Allah, inspiration to Imam Bukhari to select this hadith as the start. Why did he select this hadith? Great discussions the pious predecessors have had on this hadith. Why did he select this hadith? Why did he, discussions and commentaries, why did he bring this subject first into Sahih Bukhari? For this reason, in Bukhari, the whole deen was in Bukhari. The whole religion was in Bukhari. The Allah Ta'ala taught us, tell us to do. But it stated, whatever you do, whatever you practice, however much you implement, however much you study and learn and you practice, however much you do tafsir and commentaries of the deen, Imam Bukhari, whatever he's written, but success will only be attained at that time when your niyyah is correct. Subhanallah. Have you seen that? Every action will be based on what? Success. The whole success of an action will be based on what? Niyyah, intention. Intention. Why? Allah says you will get that which you intended for that. So the whole of Bukhari summarized, sealed, based on that. First thing we need to do is what? Say it loudly. Make the niyyah. Correct the niyyahs. Correct the niyyahs. Align the niyyahs. We read the hadith. The whole of Sahih al-Bukhari, the summary, the essence is that if you want some benefit in the hereafter, you want to be successful, then Sahih al-Bukhari won't do that. What will give it? The niyyah will give us this. Intention. The niyyah, the correction of intention will give this. The hadith is about this. And every type of person will rise up. First and foremost will be, who will rise up? The alim, the scholar. After the prophets, the greatest maqam is the alim-e-haq, the true scholar. Isn't it? The ulama haq, the true scholars, the rightful scholars. And first he will rise. Yes, Allah will say, you're a big alim, so many tafsirs, Quran, hifs, commentaries, and the answer. He will say, I've got all this, Allah. And Allah's beautiful response. You hear this in the hadith, don't you? That, you are saying, right, but who was all of this for? Allah will ask. And he gives the answer. Allah, was it for status, for fame, recognition of the world, accumulate money, save money, for job, for salary? What was the reason you did all things? Allah, I did this and knowledge and that. What was it for? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. The biggest group who will be called first on the day of judgment. And in front of Allah, how can a person challenge Allah? Why? Because indirectly, what's Allah telling us? That you got all of these things. Bukhari, you studied, you attained ilm. But you did not correct your niyyah. You didn't make effort on your niyyah. If you had sat in front of a darvesh, a wali, and done tazkiyah, purification, dhikr, adhkar, cleanse your heart so that your niyyah was cleaned and made pure, sincere. Subhanallah. The Quran has also spoken about the ulama. Khashiyah. Where do we bring khashiyat from? Yeah? Then we slip, isn't it? We fail. That's why Imam Bukhari, alhamdulillah, said that the first action is what? To correct our intentions. And how does the person, you can't just correct it, you need the whole life of effort. So my brothers, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi, ask him that how do we correct our intentions, and he will explain to you that all life long I made effort, and then the fruit is attained of Sayyid al-Bukhari. Not just read it, repeat some hadith and become big headed. No. Secondly, the shaheed will be summoned. Tell me what a great status is the shaheed who gave himself. You say, Allah, my body, I gave up, I gave this and that. And the answer will come from Allah. Who did you do this for? Indirectly, why? Allah is saying that you did not make effort to do islah of your heart, that to cleanse yourself inside, purify. You had no importance in your heart to create your intention. You never went and submitted in front of somebody. You never picked up the shoes of a teacher, of a wali. You were so mutakabir, so much pride, that never did you even have the tawfiq to pick up the shoes of a pious elder. Subhanallah. Great ulama ikram, when they came to Hazrat Sahib, great scholars, Mufti Abdul Sattar rahmatullahi, big Mufti Azam, and he was the head of the Madaris, great from the ulama of Pakistan, Khairul Madaris, big madrasa, 5,000 children in Karachi. Hazrat Khairul rahmatullahi alayh, he was from the Khalifas, you know, Hazrat Muhammad Hussein from Lahore, Madrasa Sharafiyah. And maybe you're not aware of this. Randelvi, you speak about Randair and different places in Hindustan, so about Pakistan, I'm telling you. Great status, great maqams, madaris. Khairul Madaris, big madrasa in Pakistan. And Hazrat Khairuddin was a great Sufi. Great wali of Allah, who was a khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi, some of them, with his hukam, he came to Pakistan and established a madrasa. And the Mufti, Hazrat Mufti Abdul Sattar, when he came to Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, Hazrat Sahib was a fakir, wali Allah, simple, sat in his place. And he had a jama'ah of ulema. And they heard that Mufti Sahib's coming, people from the area, vicinity, came to see Mufti Sahib. They said, Mufti Sahib, where are you going? And he said, you come to see me, but I've come to do ziyarah of somebody else. Why are you coming to see me? Allahu Akbar. I saw myself that people have come with pillows for Mufti Sahib, from his students with their pillows. Somebody's got this and that, Mufti Sahib coming. And as soon, I was present there at that time, next to Hazrat Sahib. Little hujra of Hazrat Sahib, little room, dry, there was a dirty stream outside. And Hazrat Sahib would take his shoes. And when Mufti Sahib took his shoes off, may Allah give him a'ala, great maqam in Jannah, but as great human being he became. And he led the janaz of Hazrat Sahib. Tell me what maqam Allah gave to him. The great wali of Allah of his time, he led the janazah. He was a mufti. He led the janazah. What other words can I tell you about him? So, at that time when he entered and Hazrat Sahib saw, my sheikh saw that he came and he entered, and Hazrat Sahib said, Mufti Sahib, come. Hazrat Sahib said, come, Mufti Sahib, sit down. Everybody was aware of who he was. And he said, Hazrat, these were the words of that, I have wasted a lot of time. I have come to learn the name of Allah from you. Allahu Akbar. And he closed his eyes and he started to cry. So when a person gets to this maqam, when he gets to this station, when he gets that deep sincerity and pain, he becomes a high elevated status. Imagine his maqam, then he gets the maqam of the Nabi. He's a great alim, scholar. And then his coming, going, the company with Hazrat Sahib. And he was Zaif himself at that time, weak, elder, mujahidat, effort, sitting from listening to Hazab, pressing Hazab's legs, service. He became like dust in front of Hazrat Sheikh. And after that, Hazrat Sahib gave him ijazah, permission. Then I saw him in Madinatul Munawwara. Subhanallah, the effect of Hazrat Sahib rubbed off onto him. I saw a beautiful effect on him. That what he was and what he became, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Fakir's hand he touched. He had touched the hand of the Wali Allah. So this is Imam Bukhari. He said, whatever happens, what do you need to do? You need to do your tazkiyah, purification, reformation, improvement. Allah's islah. Allah's given you ilm, open your hearts to ilm, knowledge, high maqam Allah's given to you. But if you don't do tasfiyah, tazkiyah of the heart, of the nafs, of yourself, then very bad situation. You cannot improve your niyyah then. You cannot correct your intention. Is it easy to correct the intention? Which is the whole deen. The whole of Bukhari is summarized. The essence is correct the intention. Tell me, am I right or am I wrong? Tell me, my friends, I've heard these things from the walis of Allah, the pious predecessors I'm sharing with you. For this reason, my brothers, we do dhikrullah, so that the servant, he becomes closer to Allah. His heart opens up and big diseases are eliminated. And that then everything of his is relied on Allah. Dua and effort. Dua and effort becomes his life. And tawakkal Allah. Leave it to Allah. That's it. We put the mask on. We do dua. Allah, this mask won't save us. But because you said we need to adopt the means, big diseases spread around. After that, we do dua. And the third thing, not that is guaranteed, then tawakkal Allah. Tawakkal Allah. What's the tawakkal? Allah, every one of your decisions I'll accept. You make me sick like this, I accept, I'm happy. We have done our duty. Now Allah, your choice, you will give to us according to your choice and preference. But dua and asbab, if you leave one of those, then Allah cannot be happy with you. Allah says, takabbur, pride. With me. There's an example I've given to you. An example. Just an example. That make this principle of life, my brothers. Then this can only be successful when you do dhikrullah. If you do mujahida, take the tasbih, sit at the shoes of a wali Allah, take the asbaq, the lessons, and make effort with your heart. For this reason, I want to please my Lord. And to please Allah doesn't take 1,000 years. For 1,000 years you can waste. 70 years. With Hazrat Sahib, 70 people, 70 years old, they came and they departed with Khalafa. They were deputies. Subhanallah. Hazrat Mawlana Hanif, Muhammad Hanif, rahmatullah, I remember him now. And he was Amir of Tabligh Jamaat at that time, from Dera Ghazi Khan. He was Tabligh Jamaat, Amir, and somebody said to him that you should go there. He said, yes, sir, let me go there and learn Dhikr from Hazab. And he was Amir of Jamaat. From Raiwand he would come. Mawlana Muhammad Hanif Sahib, rahmatullah. At that time, he didn't know how to improve the niyyah, correct niyyah, what is dhikr. He was 70 years old. I saw he came to Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh. He sat down. Alhamdulillah. Allah gave him khilafah. He was deputization. Great Sufi he became. Yeah, but he didn't leave tabligh. Who said that? Well, after learning dhikr, you leave tabligh, work of tabligh. Astaghfirullah. Who says this? What sort of philosophy is this? Of course, he'd go regularly. He did his work of tabligh. He propagated the deen. But he controlled his heart. Every man has a desire, career, profession. Somebody wants to do this, X, Y, Z. Learning dhikr doesn't mean you learn, leave your profession and what you're doing. Dhikr is the backbone. You understand what I'm saying? So there's no laziness. Life is short. Whatever principle and pillar you are on, and you want to correct yourself, Allah will correct you. But you waste a lot of time. But to attain Allah, it doesn't take time. Say subhanAllah. It takes time to waste. But for example, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, we lose Allah in our life. But when you want to find Allah, one night doesn't take an hour, and you will find Allah. Immediately, if a person leaves, says, I want Allah, come, learn dhikr, take the tasbih, I swear by Allah, he will attain Allah immediately. Just now, a few days ago, two, 3 years ago, Jamaat came here. Just like, and they sat with us, the brothers. And they were people of the heart. And they liked the words, my words. And they came and said, teach us dhikr, please. So mashallah, they were seniors, 15, 20, 30 years, 40 years they had spent in propagation. And there was another brother there, he was educated. He also said, I want to learn dhikr. But because he didn't know, he had some doubts and question upon question, question upon question, question upon question, doubt. And I will have to leave tabligh. I said, why should you leave tabligh? What for? That will I be lazy and negligent in my work of the deen? I said, no negligence. That this work of my deen, you won't say don't do this. I said, how can it be? I'll tell you not to do this. How can it be? How can this be? How can this be? He said, no, I've got doubt. I said, okay, then implement it, execute it. Today he's a great Sufi. I won't tell you his name. Great Sufi he is. I am surprised how Allah Ta'ala has opened his heart. But the work of tabligh is doing first class A1 standard. He didn't stop. And he said, a big deception, people. I was in a shaitan. He put that doubt into our heart. That I'll stop doing work of tabligh. I'll have to leave it. And look at, subhanAllah, what you've done for me. He said, such a beautiful, so in, mashallah, on the path of Allah, he's following in a beautiful way. That Allah, it's amazing. So ikhlas, generate ikhlas. And so you pick up the tasbih. Follow the solution. You've taken this path. Whatever path and profession you have, whatever work of the deen you're doing, continue tabligh, education, ilm, knowledge, hadith, Quran. Who's stopping you? Carry on, continue, flourish. But the shaykh, what he tells you, listen to what he says, do amal, start the amal, and develop the sincerity, whatever maqam you're on, then you will go further from there. Increase, if you're doing tabligh, then you'll attain the high level of tabligh, of dawah, of giving dawah, propagation of the, if you're teaching hadith, then the light and noor of hadith will come to you. Another example I'll give to you, an alim came from Hindustan, India, I won't tell you his name, the alim, Sheikh al-Hadith, he teaches hadith, he said, I want to learn dhikr, and mashallah, we respect the alims. I said, no, here, come to my home, I'll give you tea, I'll give you food, with adab I will teach you dhikrullah, Allahu Akbar, you're an alim, scholar, I will keep your shoes on my head. Allah's given me this ilm, I'm giving this to you so you can go and distribute. Not that you're alim and I think I'm better than you. No, no, even if you become my khalifa murid, even then I am not equivalent to your shoes, because you've learnt ilm, knowledge, oh scholar. You are ahead in your ilm and I'm ahead in my ilm. SubhanAllah, everyone's got his profession. So you give me your ilm and I'll give you my ilm. SubhanAllah, so he, I won't tell you his name. So he said, please tell me, prescribe to me. I said, I'll tell you one thing. That you, I said, do you teach hadith? He said, yes, I teach hadith and tarbiyah he does. And I teach people this. I said, today I'll give you dhikr. And then you tell me the honest truth the next time when you come back to me. That what is the color and the effect of your hadith teaching now? Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So I'm telling you those points that based on experience. He said, okay, I gave him some dhikr, prescription, told him some advice. Next year he came and in his eyes was tears. He said, Hazrat, I want to meet you. I said, when? I said that before, for example, you came according to your desire, now you are murid. But I'll tell you when you come to me now. He said, totally, you are right, Hazrat Sahib. Yeah, change the situation now, isn't it? So he said, ijz. How much ijz has come? Humbleness. So khair, I kept on delaying him. After 3 years, he kept on coming after me. Then I called him purposely. This is the solution when you cure somebody. So he came, I sat him down, I said, yes. So one question, do you remember? He said, I've come to give you the answer. I've come to give you the answer. He said, Hazrat, that such points came from the hadith when I sit to teach hadith, that my students, they are rejoicing when I mention the hadith, teaching the hadith. The same hadith from decades, from 30 years I was teaching these hadith, but now such points and pearls come out from my teaching, that my Tirmidhi, he said, I teach. And my students, they start crying and they start rejoicing. I have to stop myself. So much noor comes. I said, I told you that point. Do you do that? He said, yes. Whenever I teach my lesson, 30 minutes before that, I do maraqabah and I do tasawwur-e-shaykh. I think about my shaykh. That Allah bring the fares into my hadith. This is the tariqa, adab, manners. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think for yourself. This is not some minor ilm. The adab of this is extreme. Supreme, the wudu of this, the purification for teaching, I swear by Allah, the more pure and clean you go with your batin, inner self, and you take the hadith kitab, then you become noor ala noor, the individual. Yes, you start rejoicing, students are rejoicing, what a teacher. Thousands of people become lovers on those hadith. Is this not the case? Yes, because qala qala Rasulullah is a great, great subject. Tafsir of the Quran, teaching hadith. Not just memorization, it's a tafsir of walking, practical. The Quran is speaking when you teach the hadith. From within the hadith, the Quran is speaking. So to teach that, it's not enough, is it? just to be basic, in Allah says niyyah, intention. Imam Bukhari said that correct the niyyahs, make effort on the niyyahs, then you will be able to exhibit Bukhari Sharif. So for everyone the effort is the same. What's that? Go to the company of the sheikh's door, and the dhikr of Allah. That's it. Then the doors open up, and this tariqah is instructed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is not some made up solution. This is the guidance of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow this path. So where do we start from? That we should never in life give up, lose hope. Whenever any conditions come to you in the world or regard to thereafter, small, big, you feel like eating something, drinking something, you like something. And first and foremost, what do? That you turn to Allah. Allah, give this to me. Allah, I feel like this so much today. Allah, save me. Allah, I feel like doing this. When I feel like meeting someone, I say, Allah, this person, I'm remembering him. Allah, introduce me to this person. And the phone comes. This is not my piety. This is Allah Ta'ala's method. Whoever you want to meet. A thousand times this happened. Then Pakistan, it's been so long, I've spoken to somebody. And I leave, I pray Salah and depart. Allah, this is all I want to ask from Allah. What else am I going to ask Allah for? Worldly things. Jannah, hell, heaven and hell. Allah gives Allah, inshallah, we'll get Jannah. When you're praying Salah, you've attained Jannah. Isn't it? Automatically, the doors of Jannah open. The 8 doors of Jannah, the person who leaves after praying Salah. So then we ask for these things. Allah, I haven't spoken to this guy for so long. I don't know, is he upset with me? And be good if I can speak to him, discussion, do this dua, leave. After a few moments, the phone comes from Pakistan. Hazrat, I was remembering you, what's happening? Try this, experience this in life, make friendship with Allah, increase your friendship with Allah, strengthen. The greatest friend, the greatest merciful, and the one who gives His grace, the greatest giver is our Khaliq Allah. That's it.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, alameen, salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina mursaleen, shafi'in muslimin, taha wa yaseen, al-habib al-ameen, allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa ala muhammadin, nabiyil ammi, yaswajim, wa hatil mu'minin, wa zuriyatihi, wa ahli baytihi, kuma sallaita wa ala ala ibrahim, wa ala ala ibrahim, wa inna kumilu majid, وسلم تسليما دائما ابدا قصيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا هزلنا وجدنا وخطبنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسررت وما اعلنت وما اسفت وانت اعلم به انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم ثبتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرازنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرازنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرازنا اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا مرضى المسلمين ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما یا اللہ جو باتیں تم نے ہمیں سنوائیں جو کہلوائیں میرے مولا ان سب پہ ہمیں عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ایمانوں کو مضبوط فرما یا اللہ ہمارے یقینوں کو مضبوط فرما یا اللہ تو ہم پہ اپنا فضل و کرم خاص عطا فرما یا اللہ اپنا ذکر و فکر سے ہمیشہ ہمیں نوازتا رہے میرے مولا یا اللہ تعدم آخر تک ہمیں ذکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ اپنے سے نیک ان انسانوں سے ہمارا تعلق واسطہ پیدا فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ اپنے نیک انسانوں سے اپنے دوستوں سے ہماری دوستی نصیب فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ جن انسانوں سے تو محبت کرتا ہے ہمیں بھی ان سے محبت کروا میرے مولا یا اللہ جن انسانوں کو تو پسند کرتا ہے وہ انسان ہمیں بھی پسند کروا دے میرے مولا یا اللہ لا جانی باتوں سے ہمیں دور فرما یا اللہ مصیبتوں سے پریشانیوں سے ہر چیز سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ناگہانی مصیبتوں سے پریشانیوں سے بیماریوں سے میرے مولا حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمارے اولاد میں ہمارے بچوں میں ہمارے خاندان میں ہمارے گھروں میں ہمارے رزق میں ہمارے مال مال میں میرے مخواہ تو برکت نصیب فرما، یا اللہ تو برکت نصیب فرما، یا اللہ تو برکت نصیب فرما، یا اللہ ہماری غلطیوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری کوتاہیوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری کسل کو معاف فرما، یا اللہ یا اللہ، تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے بار بار ہمیں مانگنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، ہر وقت تیرا ہمارا دھیان تیری طرف رہے میرے مولا، یا اللہ ہمارے ہاتھ تیرے لیے اٹھتے رہیں میرے مولا، تیرے سامنے اپنی حاجات کو پیش کرتے رہیں، تیرے سامنے اپنی فریادیں پیش کرتے رہیں، یا اللہ جو بھی مسائل پریشانیاں مصیبت آئیں میرے مولا سب تیرے منشا پر ہیں میرے مولا، اس پہ ہمیں صبر جمیل عطا فرما، اجر عظیم نصیب فرما، ہمت نصیب فرما، توفیق نصیب فرما، یا اللہ کہ ہم تیرے ساتھ تیری طرف ہی جھکے رہیں، تجھی سے مانگتے رہیں، تجھی پہ یقین رکھیں، یا اللہ تو ہی ہمارا سب کچھ ہے، تو ہی کارساز ہے، تو ہی مالک ہے، تو ہی قادر ہے میرے مولا، یا اللہ ہمارے یقینوں کو بلندی کو تک پہنچا دے میرے مولا، یا اللہ ذکر سے ہمارے سینے کو منور فرما دے، ہمارے لطائف میں نور جاری فرما دے، صبح اور شام کی مجالس سے ہمیں اسی طرح نصیب فرما میرے مولا، یا اللہ ہر مجلس میں آنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، یا اللہ اپنے پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی وسیلے سے جلیلے سے میرے مولا تو ہماری ساری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین، سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون، وسلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین۔